Hey, Dylan Kelly here, host of the Wave Break podcast. Excited to get into this episode, but first, here's a quick word from our sponsor. Are you looking for ways to incorporate SMS and MMS into your marketing strategy? Add marketing text to current campaigns. With widely successful transaction rates up to 481% higher, birthday offers are a good place to start. Send customers a birthday offer to the channel that's almost always at hand, the mobile device. If they don't make a purchase, send a follow-up text in 2 days so your message doesn't get overlooked. Get more campaign ideas and see how AI-powered marketing automation is changing e-commerce. Learn more at bloomreach.com/wavebreak. This episode of the Wavebreak podcast is brought to you by Klaviyo, the growth marketing platform most recommended by other business leaders. Listen, in uncertain times, you need to be supporting your community and growing relationships with your customers. It's going to be appreciated. It's going to be remembered. It's going to be shared. And in good times and bad, this type of communication that's open and empathetic with your customers is key. This is a key theme that we've been talking about at Wavebreak. I've been preaching this on the podcast. And when you're communicating with your customers in this way, the best way to do this is with email. It is and always will be one of the best channels for delivering communication like this. And what I love about Klaviyo is that email is one of its core offerings. And their personalization that you can do inside Klaviyo is just, it can't be beat. And when you leverage that personalization driven by a 360-degree view of the customer, these emails are going to feel more relevant and they're going to drive even stronger relationships. And Klaviyo gets it. They're not just, you know, some company. They understand how challenging it is right now for every entrepreneur. You know, it was hard to get your business off the ground, and navigating these times is even harder. And if you're feeling overwhelmed with growing your business, know that you're not alone. Klaviyo is here to help you build relationships across any distance for your brand and create memorable and meaningful email marketing moments that last a lifetime. And that's how you build a successful e-commerce brand. And this is why I love Klaviyo so much, because they're on the same page with me and Wavebreak. Is like, we're not just about making more revenue. That's great. But what this is really about is an opportunity to create an amazing community with your customers. And the best way to do it is with email. And if you're not on Klaviyo, you got to get on Klaviyo. Visit klaviyo.com to schedule a free trial. That's klaviyo.com. Welcome back to the Wavebreak podcast, e-commerce leaders, the marketing podcast for high growth, direct to consumer, e-commerce, and retail brands. I'm your host, Dylan Kelly, founder and CEO at Wavebreak, a leading email and CRM agency powering experiences for brands like Curology, Nutrafol, and more. We maximize revenue as an extension of your team with data-driven strategy, on-brand email creative, and flawless execution. If you want to learn more about partnering with us, you can visit wavebreak.co/call to schedule an intro call. That's wavebreak.co/call. Today on the show, I'm really excited. I'm joined by Philippe, who's the CEO of Tatari. We're chatting about all things TV advertising and specifically how you can get started with TV. If you've ever thought about TV, this episode is a must listen because we're going to cover everything you need to know to get started with TV advertising. Everything from strategy to testing, creative, budget, measurement, and more. And I want to preface it by saying that TV advertising is not as complex or expensive as you may think, and it's a great opportunity for so many brands who are dependent on other channels to explore a new channel that can give them even more scale. I wanted to have Philippe on because he has more experience with this than anybody else on the planet. Tatari powers TV advertising behind top brands like Calm, Roman, Nutrafol, Cuts, and literally 300 plus other brands that are leading in the space. And nobody really knows more about TV than Philippe himself. And so we're going to cover a crash course on how to get started with TV and everything in between, all the way up to how to know when your brand is ready for its first Super Bowl commercial. So make sure you listen till the end so you can figure that out. But in the meantime, let's get right into it. We have a lot to cover. Philippe, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Yeah, my pleasure, Dylan.
Really excited to get into TV. There's been a lot of change inside of e-commerce and marketing over the last few years, and excited to chat about TV. But before we get into, you know, day-to-day, what that looks like, would love to learn more about yourself and learn more about Tatari. So at a high level, can you give us an overview of Tatari and how you're working with e-commerce, D2C, and retail brands?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that is a big question. So Tatari is a technology platform for the modern TV advertiser. So we mostly work with brands, but also agencies who license our tools And we help them with their TV campaigns. If you were to break that down a little further, the tech kind of that we bring to life consists of measurement, how well are my campaigns doing, and then also planning and buying, right? So now I've got something going, how do I keep my campaign running? So that's Tatari in a nutshell. Yeah.
And then how did you start Tatari? Like, have you always been involved in TV? Have you always been involved in consumer? What does your background look like?
Yeah. Tatari is still a fairly young company. We are 6 years in. And so I'll still label us a little bit as a kind of a teenage startup. And like most startups, they come about from these personal experiences. So about 15 years ago, I was running a company in Los Angeles. It's called TrueCar. And we got into TV advertising. It was something I was very fearful of, right? Because it was a lot of money to get a seat at the table. We had to pay the agency something like $3 million. It was difficult, right? We didn't know what video we should build. And we spent a lot of what I would call emotional capital on that. And all my fears came true there, right? It didn't go so well. And to our luck, TrueCar as an automotive pricing company was very rich in data science and really understanding this. And so the automotive pricing people spend their times trying to analyze TV. How should we understand it? How should we measure it? And we got the hang of it. I'm making a long story very short here, but once you can optimize something, once you can measure something, you can optimize. And it led to phenomenal results for TrueCar as a company. We finally made those TV campaigns tick like a Swiss watch and change the company overnight. From that personal experience, I kind of drew two conclusions. One, TV advertising works really, really well if you do it correctly. And two, it shouldn't just work for one company. And so I literally cherry-picked two of my former employees out of the company much later, and we started Tatari. Our eventual goal, Dylan, was to again, bring better TV measurement to the market. It literally took us only a few weeks to realize that, I wouldn't say the opportunity, but the need for better planning and buying tools was possibly even higher. And Tatari was born.
That's a great story. I've definitely seen a TrueCar ad on TV since then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did many of them. And the only reason we were able to scale to those levels where everybody had seen a TrueCar ad and therefore use the company is because we knew how to handle TV. It wasn't like throwing spaghetti on the wall.
Yeah, and it does seem like TV does seem like this big, scary word for like a lot of marketers in the D2C space because, you know, we're used to just firing up Facebook ads and, you know, slowly increasing our budget over time. Whereas like you're saying, the traditional barriers to entry to TV, it's like you got to spend $3 million minimum. You got to go through an agency. Then you have this, you know, all the pressure of picking this big winning creative. And then what if that flops? And how do we think about that? There's a lot going on. How should brands be thinking about TV and, you know, as, you know, up and coming brands who maybe haven't tried it quite yet?
Yeah. I mean, in one sentence, pretty much exactly the opposite of what you just all said there, right? TV isn't longer a big budget brand privilege. Most of the Tatari brands will start with less than $100,000. Many brands will start with as little as $20,000. TV advertising isn't necessarily expensive anymore from a kind of commercial production point of view. Yes, of course, you can make very nice, expensive creatives, but we have many brands, for example, Calm, the meditation app, that made their own commercial for $200. And let me tell you, and they said this on stage, it's really good, right? TV advertising doesn't have to be complex. I think agencies, the traditional agencies, kind of like to keep it a little opaque and in that kind of create that friction. Brands that work with Tatari don't need an agency anymore. And then I'd say, you know, last but maybe not least, is TV advertising is measurable. It's measurable today. Now, to the defense of the industry, 5, especially 10 years ago, one could not measure the effectiveness of a TV campaign. This is what Tatari was built on, if you remember the TrueCar story. So we can measure TV campaigns just as if they were digital campaigns in terms of timeliness, accuracy, the detail. And so we can provide a measurement which is maybe something more top of the funnel. What is the cost per visitor from a TV campaign? But also a down funnel metric. What's my customer acquisition cost from a TV campaign? What is my ROAS? And so really, if you look across cost, creative, complexity, measurability, TV advertising, I mean, it's a company like Tatari that made it look and feel more like digital, less than TV.
Yeah, and that's amazing, like how simple it is today compared to what it used to be. And before we get into like tactically what that looks like, what are some reasons that brands should be adding TV as part of their marketing mix today?
I'm glad you asked the question, because if you hadn't, I was just going to throw it in there as an unanswered question. But why would brands care, right? And so, look, eventually, all brands, all products, they have to get into what I would broadly call paid customer acquisition. And I think the digital world is fairly straightforward. I mean, you and I can start an AdWords campaign for $5 and actually find success with this. Or you can start a social media campaign. But what happens eventually is that you hit what we would call diminishing returns. Right? If you're already spending $100,000 on SEM, it's not because you're spending $200,000 next month that your sales volume will double, right? And eventually all brands need to find scale. And that's really where TV advertising comes in. TV advertising offers phenomenal scale at much slower diminishing returns. And we, by the way, like, I mean, Dylan, we map this out in mathematics, where we literally, when we look at a brand that has yet to be on TV advertising, we look at what they do in digital, how much they spend, what their marginal customer acquisition costs are. And then we can pretty much project out what it would look like on TV and give them that confidence out of the gate, again, with lower budgets to get into the game. And the ultimate game or the ultimate goal for TV advertising is scale, right? How can I scale beyond what I'm doing today? Not how can I grow 20%, but how can I grow 300%, 500%?
Yeah, totally. And so where do you even like begin with thinking about that? So it's like, okay, I'm set. I want to, you know, get into TV. Like, do I even have a brand that's going to be able to hit national scale? Like, do people ask that? Like, does this actually make sense for us?
It is the beauty of TV, right? Because people are so constrained by their digital limitations that they don't realize that they have audiences beyond that. People who might not use Facebook. I don't use Facebook anymore, right? Audiences that they didn't think of, right? They think, oh, well, I sell male razor. You think about Manscaped. Let's talk about that. Is there more of a male brand? Well, you know, it's quite possible is that, you know, they've been doing very well targeting males in the digital world. But as a matter of fact, on TV advertising, it's actually the females who find it needed to buy it for their partners, right? And so TV kind of really gives you that opportunity to expand beyond the limitations of your digital audiences.
I mean, that's a really good point. Like, we're so used to thinking about marketing digitally in a way that's like different than thinking about, like, you know, kind of like the consumer as a whole, as somebody sitting on their couch versus, like, you know, a very specific Facebook audience or a very specific segment on an email list or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, even figuring out that Manscaped customers are majority female from TV. I mean, that's super interesting and surprising.
I'm throwing something like an example out there. I wouldn't necessarily want to speak for Manscaped. They are a Tatari client, but you know, I wouldn't make that statement.
Right.
But just kind of
we've seen similar
here
with a lot of male focused brands. Like, you'd be surprised at like the breakdown in customer base.
Yeah, or you know, we tend to think that, I know, it's males who watch NFL football. Well, hang on, what do you think the female partners are doing during that time? They might like it as much, if not more. And if you're a female focused or you have a female focused product or brand and you, let's say, air or run a streaming impression during a male program, you stand out, right? And so look, here's the interesting thing. If we take, you know, multiple steps back, you know, the promise of digital advertising has always been the ability to target. And as much as I would agree with that, it's a double-edged sword. Because the more you target, you know, the more your reach decreases or the less of reach you will have, and you lose out. It's really, really hard to grow your company if you keep hyper-targeting and don't pay attention to the new audiences that may have had as much of an interest in your products and brands.
Yeah, that's a really good point. The audience point was really surprising. Is there anything else that might surprise brands when it comes to TV advertising? You mentioned Calm spending only $200 on a TV creative. You mentioned expanding beyond who you think your customer base is. Is there anything else that's surprising when it comes to TV advertising?
A few things. There's a lot of media channels these days that are considered dead. And I've noticed that TV advertising is easily thrown into that because, remember, it's a little old school compared to all things digital. The reality, Dylan, is that more people are watching even more TV than ever in the past, right? I believe, and I'm top of my head, I believe the average hours of TV consumption per day is something like 3.5 hours. Find me a platform with that type of consumption. The number of shows and programs on TV is bigger, and the quality of it is bigger than ever before, right? If there were 200 scripted shows produced annually 10 years ago, it's something like 600 or 800 now, right? There's more placement, premium inventory for your brand to appear. And so I'd say in general, it's brands really need to think of TV advertising as an incredibly powerful medium that's going through a bit of a renaissance. So that's one I would definitely put out there. The other thing is that it sounds so obvious when I tell you, but people tend to forget about this. When a brand advertises on TV, it's not just kind of a still image, or it's not just a little text of an ad word that lived there, where they fight the ad load when people scroll to Facebook, whatever it is. If you advertise on TV, you get your exclusive 30-second video, your story, right? Audio and video. There's a lot you can tell there. So much more than you can tell, right, in 100 characters on AdWord. And people tend to, as obvious as it is, as I tell you now, brands tend to forget that. And it makes TV such a wonderful medium.
I mean, it's a really good point. Like, it's a channel that's often overlooked, but extremely powerful. And then, like you were saying earlier, it's like also way more cost effective than brands would think today. And I know that's something that Tatari helps with a lot these days with your platform and the way you're able to, you know, get campaigns up and running quickly and then also measure them. Why do so many brands, you know, you work with pretty much all the top D2C brands and consumer brands in the space. If you go to Tatari and you look at the client roster, why is everybody going to Tatari?
Appreciate that question for sure. But let me share a quick stat before I answer that. The IAB, they publish a list of what they see as the 250 most disruptive brands every year. If you look at that list of those brands, of those that do TV advertising, more than half will be with Tatari. And so coming back to your question now, why is that? I mean, look, I think we give them that platform that they've been yearning for, right? That platform, as I articulated earlier, that makes TV look and feel a little bit more like digital and less than TV, right? Where they get that measurement, where they get that timeliness, where they get the agility, the flexibility in how they buy. And it's a very logical extension. We see these brands, right? When they seek scale, it's often the growth marketer or the VP growth, often even the founder who does digital in-house. He or she is an expert at it. He or she comes to TV advertising with those digital expectations as well. And I like to think we offer that. We meet them what they need, but agencies can't necessarily always do that.
Yeah. And plus, I think you even have like a direct integration into Shopify these days. Is that correct?
Yep. That's right. So there's really kind of the two components to that. We've always been big fans of Shopify and the tens of thousands of merchants and smaller merchants that live on there. And so, gosh, 3-4 years ago, when nobody was really thinking of it, we built a Tatari app for Shopify. And really what it means is that, look, if you are a brand, you want to get on TV advertising, we must get some data from you to do that measurement. The technical setup, the instrumentation to get that data, well, that for a small merchant, that can be cumbersome. And so we removed all friction. The Tatari Shopify app, you install it and that data will come to us. And literally within seconds, you're ready for TV. About a half a year ago, I think Shopify, based also on the success that we built, right? We see companies like Tecovas, Bobby, using this app, rating the app super high. Based on that success, I guess in many ways we got rewarded. So Tatari today is the first and also in that the only TV enabled app in what is called the Shopify Plus Certified App Program. So we're kind of like living there next to mighty Google, mighty Facebook. And as you can tell, we're very proud of it. But it helps. It helps merchants. Again, it removes the friction for the very small brands to get into the TV game with success.
Yeah, I imagine most brands don't realize how easy it is to actually get started because, you know, like we've been talking about the whole time, we have this preconceived notion that it's like really difficult or you need to go through like all these very antiquated and expensive channels to be able to get access to the inventory. And, you know, you got to do a media buy and you got to do all these things. But it's way easier today with technology, with what Tatari is doing. What are some examples of brands who are using the, you know, modern TV playbook and just crushing it today?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mentioned a few already there, right, in the Shopify world. But here's what's interesting. So obviously, it's a lot of small brands, or I like to think a lot of brands that at one point in time, Dylan, were very small. Right? They started with $20,000 or $30,000, even a company like a Vuori. And I think rather than listing all these brands and the industries in which they live, I almost much rather point to the fact that we help them scale. It to me, that's actually probably kind of the thing we're more proud of. It's not so much like, oh, we have so many clients or whatever it is, but it's the fact that we bring these small brands to TV with small money. We show them how TV works. We show them how they can scale. We allow them to truly tenfold the budgets and in that tenfold the sales. And so surely I can give you a lot more names, but yeah.
Yeah, no worries. Well, I think it's a good time to like start talking about maybe like how tactically a brand can get started with TV. So like, you know, yep, these brands are obviously crushing it. You can get started for as little as 20 to 30K. Like, where do you actually start? Like, do you start thinking about creative? Do you start thinking about audience? Because like the marketer's brain, that's where it goes. But how do you think about that initial like 20, 30, 100K to put into TV and, you know, making it successful?
Yeah, there's different ways and different entry points. It all depends a little bit on the level of comfortability and also the goals that one set for its brand, right? I'm going to start with possibly the easiest, the most obvious and the lightest way for any brand to get into TV advertising. And if you don't do this yet, you should just write it after listening to this podcast, get into the game. And it's retargeting. But because when you get visitors to your site, and no matter the reason as to why they come, maybe it's even just word of mouth, right? And they peruse and they don't buy, it is not difficult for Tatari using our technology to then later serve them an ad on TV. Literally, they might be watching a big NFL game and all of a sudden your ad will appear there as if you've paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to run that ad. But of course, you've just done just very smart retargeting. The conversion on campaigns like that are through the roof. Again, they're super low budgets. Obviously, the retargeting pool is small. You're talking maybe only $100 per day, but it's a no-brainer. Now, remember what I said, the true power, the true beauty of TV advertising then lays into prospecting, right? Making people aware of your product before they even realize that they want it or need it, right? And so there we will obviously make first considerations between what is called streaming TV, right? The CTV and OTT experiences, the Hulus, the TVs, the Fubo of the world, and then what is also called the linear TV side, cable and broadcast, right? Traditional ABC or a cable network like CNN. And so it depends a little bit on the budget available. The bigger the budget is, the more we can do, right? The more we can test. I'll round up by saying this. Whilst traditional TV advertising has always focused on, okay, well, let me build a plan that speaks to your target audience, Tatari will focus more on a plan that drives outcomes. It's not that we're going to ignore your target audience, but it's not the end goal. The end goal is a true performance, a true outcome, and we'll get that true measurement. Did that $1,000 actually drive a sale? or not. And if it does, we'll do more of it. If it doesn't, we'll try something else. And so in many ways, Atari is a continuum of small tests strung together, always focused on an outcome.
Yeah. And then in terms of like, I mean, you said so many great things that I didn't even know were possible, like the retargeting. I mean, your brand is going to look so much bigger than it probably is when somebody's watching, you know, that NFL game or whatever it is they're watching, and they were just on your site earlier that day or a day before, and now they're going to get a TV ad. I imagine that works really well.
Yeah, actually, we talk about Manscaped. I'm going to give you some like hard stats about it. We can publish them on the website. But so the first order of business for Manscaped was like, how can we increase that retargeting pool, right? And so there we did some very kind of like cheap TV investments, cable TV, right? Low CPMs. For the listener, like low CPMs in the world of TV, that could be $1 to $3, that low, okay? And so we kind of build up that retargeting pool. When we then started applying retargeting, we saw their sales volume for Manscaped increase with 37% whilst bringing down the CAC. So that's pretty significant. Those are like, if you can bump your sales up with that much and such little money, it matters.
Yeah. And then with that, I know a lot of brands are thinking probably like, oh, like you're running TV as like a branded campaign to like, you know, raise brand awareness, not necessarily to drive conversion. But that's not true, right? A lot of your clients are running ads to drive revenue, and, you know, they're running TV campaigns profitably.
Yeah. I mean, we look, profitability in the world of TV advertising is a tricky word. Undeniably, Dylan, when a TV campaign is started, especially by a small or a younger brand, we must focus on the profitability. If you put a dollar in, you want to get a dollar plus back. The trick, and ultimately, maybe this is kind of like fast forward positive, but the ultimate trick is like, well, if I scale up, can I still demonstrate that TV is profitable? Because that direct causal relationship between an impression and a sale might not be there anymore. Right. So let me give a very specific example. If I start airing or streaming in tentpole programs, I don't know, the Oscars, God forbid, the Super Bowl, it's not that everybody is going to jump on online and say, buy a product. But of course, later on, when they see your product appear in a search or search results, they unconsciously make a positive association with it. Right. Or when 3 months later, they realize, gosh, well, say I'm cooking and I'm not happy with my pots and pans, and oh, what was that ad that I saw on TV, Made in Cookware, and they search for that on the web unconsciously. The TV advertising is so much more than a direct ROI, right? It's ultimately what's building the brand, creating the halo effect is all about.
This episode is brought to you by Tidio, the highest rated live chat software on Shopify. Through live chat, chatbots, and ticketing, Tidio helps Shopify merchants gain and retain more customers with personalized shopping experiences. With Tidio, you can recommend products and offer discounts based on user behavior and order history, all without leaving the chat widget. This increases conversions and revenue. Tidio also takes the pressure off your support team. The app enables you to manage all of your communication channels in one dashboard and to be able to automate up to 47% of recurring questions. If you want to increase sales and customer satisfaction with personalized shopping experiences, visit tidio.com/leaders. That's tidio.com/leaders to start using Tidio Premium. And I was able to get an exclusive discount for listeners, so make sure you use that link and promo code LEADERS. It's going to be linked down in the show notes below, but use that link and that code to get an exclusive discount, all while leveraging the highest rated live chat software on Shopify. Go check them out.
Yeah. And then in terms of like scaling beyond retargeting as an initial brand getting started with TV, how do you think about like expanding into different audiences from there? Like, you're like, oh, we're going to go broad. Does like Atari figure out like where to serve the ads for you? Or like, how does somebody figure out like where to go after retargeting and like What does that creative look like? A lot of questions, but kind of like, you know, we're ready to get going and launch. Like, what does that look like? And I think it's hard for a lot of brands because, like you said, like they're so audience focused and so focused on their customer when they kind of need to like widen, it sounds like, their strategy and approach.
Yeah. So it's kind of like two components, like buying and there's creative. So let's start with the creative piece. The creative piece, like what we see is that most brands actually have that ability to produce their own creative. Sometimes they already have them from a Facebook campaign, a YouTube campaign. And by the kind of the state of the technology and the art in creative production compared to today, compared to 10 years ago, is day and night. And so I wouldn't go through two great lengths to make that first creative. The chances are that you already have it in-house. Chances are that you can do it yourself. Right. And I mentioned Calm as an example. We've had a few other companies who really kind of getting names. I apologize. We literally made their own creatives with an iPhone. So that's out there. And if you couple that with the fact that, look, you're not going to spend an arm and a leg on your first TV campaign, it doesn't have to be perfect, as strange as I would articulate this. But creative shouldn't be the bottleneck. There's even some companies out there that now do AI creatives. Try that as well. So I would say that on creative. On the buying side, the traditional recipe, which is followed by an agency, is that a human buyer, he or she will recommend certain networks and programs and shows to air on, to stream on. And they will do so using some tacit knowledge, especially around audience targeting. The target will do less and less of that. Remember, we will focus on where is the outcome, and if there's an outcome, where can we copy paste and do more of it, right? I'll give an example. If I find a positive result by airing on CNN, well, maybe I should stream also on CNN Go, and I should buy more news channels, whether they're streaming or linear. So we'll focus on outcomes, but increasingly we'll tell computers, or computers will tell us, how we should do this. Because a manual media buyer, he or she can only keep track of so many different ad inventory components and pieces and the interaction and how they will work and how they will perform. Computers, when you apply machine learning, can do a much better job. This is an incredible example. We talk a lot about ChatGPT today. Well, this is what's been happening at Atari for TV advertising for a long time.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense on like how you're able to then take those budgets that might not be huge and then spend them really efficiently.
And so I want to give you like a real taste. If this were kind of like a show and tell, not just a tell, I'll probably do a platform demo. And I would open that up. And the first thing you would see, Dylan, is your ability to pick from over 30,000 networks and streaming publishers. 30,000. So how do you even go through all of this?
Yeah, right? Where do you even start?
Right. And so this is where data science and machine learning in the buying process comes to the rescue, because no human being can handle such volumes.
That makes a lot of sense. And then on the human side, or maybe you're using AI on this side too, when it comes to that initial creative strategy, what like typically goes in that creative? Do you just take your top performing, you know, prospecting Facebook ads, for example, and you translate that to TV? Are there any frameworks you've seen work well? Because I think a lot of brands would probably be afraid, like, well, this could go and be showed to anyone, and we're not used to marketing, you know, at that broad of a level. So like, how do I approach that creative?
Yeah. And so the reality is we may all have very opinions or thoughts about what the creative should be. And in the end, I will always say it doesn't matter, right? Because once you run a few impressions or you run a few spots, the data will tell you who's right or who's wrong. And so we actually encourage all of our brands not to be afraid and come out with a few different creators, make them as different as you can stomach, right? Without losing necessarily in quality and things like that. And just go with it in small doses. And the Tatari platform will very quickly tell you that creative A performs 3 times better than creative B. And then, of course, you're going to hone in on creative A. Having said all of this, obviously, over the billions of dollars, the hundreds of brands that we have brought to TV, we kind of have kept track of the elements that make creatives work, right? For example, if there is a watermark in the commercial, that may, and I forgot the exact statistic, but that may actually bump the response rate with 3 to 4%, because people may not hear the brand name or they forget about it, but they see it written down. And so now the response rate goes up a little bit. I'll give you an even more surprising one. We can show with to you with data that creatives, if somebody talks into the camera where that person is holding eye contact, will actually outperform creatives and where the person is a little, you know, gun shy and is not really looking into the camera. And so as a data science company, we share all of those components of creative performance with our brands. But I cannot emphasize enough, it doesn't mean that you're going to have success, right? For example, when Maiden spent $1,000 or so on a creative, it may not necessarily, and not that I remember, but it may not necessarily have adhered to all of our creative guidelines, but it still performed well. And that was only $1,000 or so.
Yeah. And like the calm example you said for only a few hundred bucks, is that like the calm where it's just like the rain noise and just like the app icon?
They said this on stage with us. They spent $200 on that. And I'll be honest, when they came up with this, Dylan, I looked at it and I cringed. I'm like, oh my God, this is going nowhere. Yeah. Hey, look, if you're going to spend, I don't know, $50,000 on your first TV campaign, you may as well put your best foot forward. I'm in quotation marks up now. But clearly I was wrong. They were right.
I mean, that's crazy. It really works, because like you're saying, you know, testing these angles that are so different, it works because it stands out compared to everything else. Like, you know, when you do pull out your phone on the commercial break and then you just hear like the calming waterfall or whatever the sound is, you look up and you're like, oh, this feels good. Maybe I should download the app. But it is scary to like go and take that risk and do something so different compared to everybody else.
It is in the old school world of TV where you had to commit to millions of dollars. Not today. Like if there's anything I hope we can kind of establish for brands, whether they work with Atari or not, is getting them off that ledge. It's honestly, starting on TV is as easy, or should be as easy and cost efficient, as it is for any other digital channel.
I mean, that's pretty wild that it's that easy these days. And then like, once you get going with TV, is scaling just as easy as, you know, getting started with TV? Like, what does scaling the program look like once you get started and you're seeing some initial success?
Yeah, let me share some stats with you. So we have this concept of what we call a pilot, right? So somebody comes, so like, I would like to be on TV, and we show them kind of the initial steps, and we kind of like prescribe that recipe. And so the success on a pilot for any brand on average is something like 87%. And that means after 12 weeks on TV, even in super, super small doses, they're finding success, they're finding ROI so good that they'll continue. 87%. So based on that statistic, I will declare the fact of getting on TV advertising, at least with Atari, being very easy. The next step is scaling. And of course, if you scale on performance, like, look, one type of inventory, one type of program, one type of creative works really well, and I'm just going to copy paste more of it, that's actually not that difficult too. The question here is, well, how much can I copy paste? Let me give you two different examples. If I test NFL and I have a good result, well, it's really not that difficult for me, Dylan, to find millions of dollars of football inventory on which I can do well. As a matter of fact, I can throw out $10 million plus and be successfully on the Super Bowl. Now, if on the other hand, I only find success on a documentary type of programming, then of course, well, there's not that much going around and it's a little difficult. But all in all, scaling the performance is not that difficult either. I think the harder step for any brand, and maybe this is kind of a little bit outside, you know, your audience today, but the hardest part of TV advertising is eventually building your brand, doing brand optimizations, right? Starting to buy spots where you don't have that immediate connection to a sale, but you know you're going to get it later, sometimes months later, in a different channel. For example, Fiverr. Many of your listeners may actually work with Fiverr. We ran a spot on the Super Bowl for them. It's not that they saw the return on the Super Bowl within a day, but they saw it over the months, especially when we started applying retargeting techniques. They saw that result definitely coming back. So that's the hardest part. But you cross that bridge when you get there, right? There, yeah. You know, no brand is too young for TV. And so get into the game now.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. How fast can you scale TV? Is it like, you know, once you have the same creative, is it like Facebook, it gets exhausted after a while, or you can keep running and scaling that creative across, you know, those 30,000 different channels or whatever you mentioned? How does that work?
It can go fast. It can go slow. Honestly, there is no standard recipe. You follow the results. Data speaks, right? You can see what's possible and not possible. I would say in general, it for yourself or your board or your CEO, whoever it is, I would always be careful in terms of setting expectations. It takes a little bit of time to really kind of find your cruising altitudes. The good news is that when something works, it's going to work for a long time. So let me ask you, Dylan, when's the last time you saw the calm created, the rain? When's the last time?
I don't remember specifically, but probably within the last like 30 days.
30 days. Okay. Well, that creative has been going around for as long as I remember, 4 years. So good news, huh? The longevity on that one.
Yeah. I mean, I even think of like, you know, growing up watching Geico commercials or whatever insurance company it is. And then you finally get old enough to when you need insurance. And then it's like you're saying, like, it's the first thing that comes to mind because you've been, you know, learning about Geico's 15% or more for, you know, 15, 30 years.
Yeah. I mean, and by the way, like if you as a young brand can have your commercial run next to Geico, that's a hell of a statement you're making there, right? Because you as a brand, you signal prestige, quality, size, right? Where you're asked if they're, say, powerful as a big insurer like a Geico. So why not?
Yeah, and then does that like brand image that you build from running ads next to brands like Geico, does that then like trickle into the other marketing channels that you're running advertising in? Like I imagine you see a bump Amazon, your Facebook ads become more efficient and all that down the road.
Yep, that's right. Your quality scores on Google go up, your conversion rates on Facebook start picking up. Sometimes we have brands that come to us in wild enthusiasm. My goodness, organic traffic of it is up. And we're like, well, hang on a bit. That's not organic, just so that you know. That's because you've been doing well on TV advertising. You've built reach, you've built awareness. People unconsciously come to you when they need the product or when kind of, you know, the demand comes along.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
It's in markets like, I mean, you know, the economic climate is changing a little bit, but we've seen certain brands just truly building market share now, right? When others go off TV and they're the only ones out there, maybe they don't get the immediate ROI today, but you know, 6-12 months later, they've literally built their market share.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point too. Like you see bigger companies cutting budget, that's an opportunity for you to sneak in, and same with your competition. If, you know, they're struggling to raise their next round or whatever it is, you can double down and, you know, be there where they're not. I have two like random TV related questions. One is like to your point on like running the Super Bowl commercial. When does that make sense? Like, does that make sense for, you know, obviously probably not most brands getting started, but like when does a commercial like that make sense?
Obviously, I would say
I'm sure it depends. And it's not as easy as a single answer on a podcast.
But I'll answer your question with kind of like a negative construct. I think not in the last Super Bowl, but the 2022 Super Bowl, we saw a lot of these crypto ads and commercials that made no sense whatsoever because these companies had no idea if NFL worked for them. They even didn't know if TV advertising worked for them. And so we are very favorable to the Super Bowl. It is the most incredible ad placement one could ever do. You get the entire country in one fell swoop with the most attentive audience ever. But you need to have tested in the run up to that. And the run up could be years. You need to have tested this. Is football right for me? Is this the right creative? Is this the right audience? Stuff like that. And so there is a time and a place for every brand to be in the Super Bowl. Each year, we look at our kind of like portfolio of brands, and we work with over 300 brands directly. And so there's always 10, 20 of them for whom the Super Bowl makes sense. but not for the 280 other ones yet.
Oh, wow. And that's because they've tested all their way up to there. They know their creative works. They know the audience is going to work.
They're ready. Yep. And then look at it. Other things come into play. They're ready for retargeting. They have a highly synced digital campaign that comes along with it. Again, maybe not for this audience, but then again, like, look, I always say, if you want to land on the moon, you got to shoot for the stars. And so, like any brand getting into TV, even if it's only with $10,000, it's good to start daydreaming a little bit about that today.
Yeah, that is exciting. Right? Like sitting there as a founder or, you know, marketing leader, and then, you know, the idea of seeing your ad in that prime time spotlight is really exciting. My second random question is QR codes. So those got really popular. I've been seeing some brands running them. Have you run any of those on TV? And, you know, what are the results of that? Like, do they convert better?
Yeah, I'd love to share a story with you first. Indulge me. So I actually had another company before this one. It's called Shazam. And so Shazam, the music recognition.
Yeah,
app. And there was a point in time where we're like, gosh, you know, we need to diversify and we must recognize more than just music. Why don't we also allow our people to recognize TV shows and movies and maybe with a QR code? And Dylan, it bombed. Nobody wanted to use QR codes. It was just such an unnatural behavior. And so I've been generally pessimistic on all things. You mentioned the word QR to me and I'm like, oh, no, it doesn't work. Now, again, this is an incredible example where my opinion does not matter. Data science does. And what we do see is that QR codes work. I think the world actually, especially during COVID, has changed. People are more comfortable with the concept of a QR code. All the cameras, by the way, capture them very elegantly now, right? And so we increasingly place QR codes into the commercials for our clients. And I believe for one client, it was in the fintech space. I can't mention the name, but I believe they saw something like a 3% uptick in response rate. So that's worded. The decision is, well, do I like that QR code in my commercial, or do I want to focus on the beauty of my product and I don't want to be spoiled with that QR code? So look, it's one of those things where, or short answer is like, let's test. And if it makes a difference and you don't mind, let's keep it. If it doesn't make a difference, why bother? Why clutter?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, it definitely does, in some cases, you know, make it easier to convert. And then in others, it could definitely draw away from the brand and add clutter to what could be like a really clean premium creative.
Yep, that's right. And there's no universal recipe. I'll say this, though. The predecessor of a QR code was a vanity URL, right? I'm just making this up. blueshirts.com/seen on TV. Those don't work. They're too complex. You're expecting people to remember a long URL and to key that all in. That's not how it works. The way people respond to TV, it's remember, it's in a layback experience. They don't click. They don't get up, but they don't stand up to click the TV. They most likely take their phone and do a search. And they're just going to key in that search word or part of it. That's how you expect them to get to your website. Vanity URLs, man.
Got it. What about discount code TV30?
Ah, well, we had some interesting tests there. So I cannot name the company here, but and I hope I got the numbers right. So we did a test. One creative, say creative A, was 10% off, and 10% on the value of the order would have been something like $8 in savings. And the other one was $5 off. Turns out most people took the $5 off. Makes no sense whatsoever, right? And so ultimately, discount codes, it's something you need to test. First of all, test whether to do it or not. If your response rate overcompensates for the discount provided, great. Otherwise, don't do it. And then, of course, what type of discount should you offer? You got to test that too. And again, assuming you're now well underway on TV, for as little as $5,000 to $10,000, you can suss that out.
I mean, that's pretty amazing that it can be tested to, you know, the specific call to action, the specific discount these days. And I could ask you these random questions about TV all day. And I know we're doing a follow-up with an actual Tatari client, Kettle and Fire, on a future episode where we can get more into that and talk about their experience scaling TV, what they learned, how other brands can do the same. But I know we're starting to run out of time, so I did want to finish and just, you know, ask you, you know, what are you excited about in terms of Tatari, and what does the future look like for, you know, the company? What do you think about the future of TV, commerce, all that? Would love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, and by the way, I've had such a hard time not to mention Cattle and Fire because I don't want to steal their thunder. So hopefully they'll confirm everything I've just said. Look, future of TV, future of Tatari. We've been out there, you know, something like 6 years now. And for me, it's always been about democratizing the world of TV advertising, right? Making TV accessible, not just to the Fortune 500 companies, but truly every single small mom and pop store, the 30 million or so SMBs that we have, many of them just operating in their local geography, or many of them, by the way, operating locally, but possibly having the ability to sell their bikes nationally, as an example. And so that is what I see as the future of TV. This is what I want to happen, right? So in the same way that Google is kind of like providing search to make, you know, information universally accessible and usable, I want to provide TV advertising technology to make TV advertising universally available to all the brands, not 300 or so that we have today. And by the way, we work with many more than those via some agencies who license our techs. But if you think about the Shopify merchants, every Shopify merchant should be on TV. At the very least, they should be running a retargeting campaign.
I would agree with that. I mean, I think it's so untapped for brands, and that's why I wanted to chat about TV, because, you know, it's something that everybody sees TV ads, but, you know, I think as a marketer, you think it's like, oh, it's not going to be possible. It's going to be expensive. Yet it's a really exciting opportunity, and it's, you know, really fun to dream about that Super Bowl spot. But I think, you know, speaking with you today, turns out it's not as complex or as expensive as you'd think. You know, and going against the grain could actually produce an even better result than like the traditional TV strategy. So it's been great chopping it up with you. Like I said, I could ask you random questions about TV for hours, and I really appreciate you, you know, taking all your experience with TV and, you know, building and growing companies for, you know, a really long time, and taking the time to come on the show today. For brands who want to learn more about Tatari, you know, potentially even get started with an initial, you know, test for TV, where can they go to find Tatari and learn more?
Just go to Tatari, TATARI.TV, and then you can find it there. By the way, we have a lot of content on our website. And so we generously share all of our findings, as you probably can tell a bit in this podcast. So feel free to peruse that. We're there as a resource in general. Some of you might data TV advertising campaigns elsewhere. That's cool. As I said, we're out there to really make sure, evangelize to all of these retailers that TV is for them too.
Yeah, and you have a really great blog, like you mentioned. That's where I got a lot of the ideas for these questions, and, you know, seeing the actual examples, or even in the case studies as well, like seeing the actual examples of like brands who are succeeding with TV today, and looking at their ads and like trying to see like what's in common or what they're testing in their creative, whether it's a QR code or, you know, just sending people even like in some cases, it looks like almost like a shot on iPhone video. And yeah, a lot of really great content on there. If you like listening to this podcast, you'll like reading through the blog and case studies. A lot to learn from. And like I said, really appreciate you coming on the show, Philippe. Thanks for taking the time. We'll link everything down in the show notes below, and really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure, Dylan. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Wavebreak Podcast. If you're not subscribed on iTunes or Spotify, go hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on future episodes. And if you're not on our email list, go sign up at wavebreak.co/join. You'll join other e-commerce leaders at brands like Skims, Cartier, and Walmart, and thousands more, learning exactly what's working in e-commerce right now. You won't want to miss it. Sign up at wavebreak.co/join. It's free. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Wavebreak Podcast. I hope you have a wonderful day.